On duty. We have Piper on the 18th has a leg procedure in Indianapolis, something that she has to have done, and then Warren has surgery on the 17th. So we want to remember both of those in our prayers we talked about this morning. When needs are made known, we need to pray for each other. So let's do that. And then Wednesday, this next Wednesday, Dave said he has an appointment with the doctor to see about pain and sleeping. He hasn't been able to sleep in the bed for several months. He has to sleep in his recliner. He has a lot of pain there. So we have several members who need our prayers, and we just want to remember them and make sure that we do our part to pray for them in the upcoming events, and hopefully things will turn out well for them. Tabitha is home, so she's out of the hospital. We're glad for that. I forgot to mention this morning that tomorrow night the ladies are having the Bible class, their monthly Bible class, at 7 o'clock at the Bartlett House. So, ladies, please be prepared for that. And if you can make that, please show up for the 7 o'clock ladies' Bible class. A Wednesday invitation for this week. Warren, you're down for that. Meetings in the area. I mentioned this morning that Northwest starts their meeting tomorrow. That's Monday through Friday. So you'll be aware of that. If you can attend there, I'm sure that they'd appreciate it. You'd also benefit from that as well. So I think there's a flyer. I think it's probably 7 o'clock. I'm not sure of the time, but you can look and just make sure. The order of worship service, we'll ask Warren if he would to lead the opening prayer. Tony Barron has the communion. Preaching for us will be Brother Mark Nevins. And I'll be leading singing. And we ask Keith, could you lead us in the closing word prayer? Would Keith take the closing prayer? And then at the end of services, I just want to take about in 2 or 3 minutes, if everybody would just be seated, and just take a couple of minutes to make an announcement, and then we can be dismissed. So you would turn in your songbooks now to number 243. It'll be our first song this evening, 243. Home of the Soul. Sing all three verses.
If for the price we have striven, after our labor is o'er, rest of our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and right. Jesus is there, He is the Lord, locked in the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for Thee. Beautiful the walk, the ransom beside the crystal sea. Yes, the sweet rest is remaining for the two children of God, where there will be no complaining, never a changing rod. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there, He is the Lord. Off in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for Thee. Beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal. Soon the bright homeland adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, rise till the night has gone. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for Thee. Beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea.
The same opening, number 244. Hold to God's unchanging hand. We'll sing all four verses, and then Warren will lead us in a word of prayer. 244.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not a birth and new can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Changing hand, build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. Pass away. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, you have been true. There and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal.
Warren will now lead us to word of prayer. Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity again this large day to come together and to worship you. To worship you, Lord, in spirit and truth. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. You are the creator of all things, dear Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are mentioned who not feeling well, those who are on the roads of travel. We pray for Brother Chuck as he does your work, Lord, holding the meeting in West Virginia. Be with him. Pray that much good and edification can come from that. The Heavenly Father, we're thankful for many blessings you give us in this life. And we're especially thankful this day that baby Tabitha has been able to come home to be with Mom and Dad. And we're so thankful for that. And we continue to pray for her. We pray that as time passes, she'll gain strength, and she'll be able to be a normal procedure, Lord, for her, and as a family should be, and we're so thankful for this outcome. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with us through this period of worship. We have, in this country, Lord, we're so thankful for the many blessings we receive. We know also, Lord, that there's many things that we need to improve upon. But we pray for our leaders. We pray for those who have to make decisions that affect each and every one of us. We pray that they will always strive to make the right decisions, try their best to do what your word would teach, Lord, for doing the right things, courageous things. Now we pray for ourselves, courage, Lord. We pray that we'll always be a humble people. We have so much that we look to this day for, Lord, to be so thankful for it. We come together and we enjoy each other's company, faithful Christians, and we're thankful for that.
Now, as we go into this period of worship, we pray that you be with us. Watch over us, Lord. Forgive us where we fail. And we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We'll turn to song number 742. Sing the song before the Lord's Supper is offered for those who did not have an opportunity this morning to take the Lord's Supper. We'll sing the first, second, third, and fifth verses. We'll omit the fourth verse.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain, thy count of loss, and for contempt of all my pride.
Supper, if they can do so this evening. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table in remembrance of your Son and our Savior, we are indeed thankful for the opportunity to gather around this table in remembrance of your Son and our Savior. Thankful for the sacrifice that was made upon the cross. Pray that those who partake this unleavened bread and commune thy Son's body that hung upon that cross, that we will reflect back upon that day and partake of it in a manner well pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You see the hands of those who need to take. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we continue to gather around this table in remembrance of your Son and our Savior, we are thankful for the sacrifice and blood that was shed upon the cross on our behalf. We pray that those partaking of this fruit of divine communion of thy Son's blood, that they will reflect back upon that scene, thank the agony and suffering that was done upon that cross for our, on our behalf. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. That concludes the Lord's Supper. The offering plate will be here on the table for any of those that didn't have an opportunity to give to do so after service. See you.
Fort Mark's lesson, let's see, number 251. If it's convenient for you, please stand. How long has it been? We'll sing both verses, and then Brother Mark Devers will bring us the lesson.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and walked in your heart in secret? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend?
Study of a Bible person. This is actually the trait character. And what we're going to look at and hopefully glean is the definition of what man thinks character is, obviously the definition of what God thinks character is. And based out of this chapter, we're going to hopefully learn some qualities of a godly character. And if time permits, we'll have some benefits of that. That may be a different lesson in and of itself. Man's definition. I went to Mr. Webster's. Okay, that's the authorized American edition of words. And he states that the word character itself is based out of two meanings. One, Latin, which means to mark or a distinctive quality. And a Greek word meaning to sketch or to engrave. So with that, a working definition of a character is consists of a distinctive marks or traits that is etched or engraved on a person's heart. Okay, that's man's definition. God's definition is pretty close. Okay? And of course, that's the definition that we'll use during this lesson. Mr. Thayer, Greek, I don't know Greek, Mr. Thayer does. He says that character means proving or trial, approved, a tried character, a proof, a specimen of tried words. Okay, keep that in the back of your mind when we're going through this. D.L. Moody, which was an early American evangelist when they came across from England to the United States, made this observation. Character is what a man is in the dark. Think about it. I mean, we got character when we're out here in the world. They see it, hey, he's a good character. But his observation, what we are in the dark, okay? When we're away from everybody, by ourselves, that's, you know, true character. Okay, I can see that. Put your finger in Proverbs. We're going to go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to let, again, Scripture speak for themselves. Let the Word of God come. We'll make very little comments. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also walk in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because of the love of God that's been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit He has given to us, or was given to us. Did you see proven character? Remember our meaning, our definition. Back in Proverbs chapter 3, first point I'd like to bring out is in the first two verses. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will be added to you. 4 points. Then we'll move on. First point would be obedience. Did you see that in the verses? Do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. We need to be fixed on God's law. Turn with me again, Romans chapter 6. We're going to let the New Testament, the Gospel of Christ, speak to us. Chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Either a sin resulting in death, or obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that through you, that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. And having been free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Obedience. Okay? This verse tells us that we are either slaves of righteousness or slaves of disobedience. Where's the allegiance? There's no straddling the line, straddling the fence, one or the other. Okay? So the obedient part, from the heart. Okay, remember our definition, from the heart. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. It states, this verse is having to deal with, I understand, about the employee-employee relationship. But look at the word. Because what applies there can apply to ourselves. Slaves, be obedient to those who are masters according to the flesh. Okay? So I've got an employee I've got to be obedient to, follow the rules and things of that nature. With fear and trembling. In the sincerity of your heart. Okay? I've got to put forth that effort. It's the last words of this verse. As to Christ. Okay, am I working for that retail corporation? Yeah, they pay, you know, maybe for working, but I'm really working for Christ. That's the way I view that. Again, we need to have His laws, God's laws in front of us. He is our ruler. Okay, another thing is, saying that, we need to be acquainted with the laws, okay? You know where I want to go to? 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, if we don't have rules to go by, God's going to have His laws and commandments that rule us, and we need to know what they are. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God or the word of truth. And we need to be acquainted with it. We need to know how to handle God's word. Okay? We need to be familiar with it. 2 Peter chapter 1. A few weeks ago when I was talking, everybody, a few of them came up to me, you need a lot of scripture. Yeah, I'm going to punctuate. I don't feel like if you make a point, you have to have scripture with it. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go down to verse number 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about your his calling and choosing you, as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Catch it in verse 10. Be more diligent to make certain about his calling, as long as you practice these things. So we don't need to know what his rules is and be acquainted with it. We have to practice them. Okay. Point 3 out of this obedience. You need to be ready to give an answer. Somebody comes up and asks you a Bible question. We need to be ready. Y'all know where I want to go with this, right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Be sanctified as Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Okay? Now, if somebody comes up and asks a Bible question, you don't know the answer, hey, that's a good question. I don't know. Let's find the answer together. I mean, that's a legitimate answer. But to try to, I don't know, I want to get away, does that mean that we don't know what's in God's Word? Again, 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to continue that thought in that chapter, verse 12. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of the things, even though you already know them, and have been established in the truth, which is present to you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that laying aside my earthly dwelling is intimate and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has made clear to me. I always be ready to remind you. Okay? We have to put that in the back of our mind and say, hey, I got to remind myself to be ready to give an answer. Because one of the ways to do that is by our example. He's different. At work, I kind of have to give them a look when foul language is around. Or at least so correct, and they understand where I stand on that. Does it help? Well, at least around me, I don't have to hear it. Hopefully there's some residual value to their part. And on the last point on this obedience is that our will and affections must conform, or must be subject, obviously, to God's law. Romans chapter 12. It's something to know it. It's something to be ready to give an answer. But if our actions do not look into God's heart and the actions are different, people take notice. Romans 12, and we'll try to get the first three verses. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay. Do not be conformed to the world. Be transformed. How are we going to do that? Well, we've got to look into this word. We've got to study. We've got to be ready. All right. Point one, obedience. Point number two, Proverbs again, chapter 3 and verse 3, just the next verse down. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Mercy and truth. Mercy, kindness, faithfulness, truth. That's what is truth. Whatever's been talked about is that truth. Pilate asks in Jesus' trial, what is truth? God's mercy is promising, his truth is performing and performing. 1 John chapter 14. John 1 like I said first time, John 1:14. Talking about Jesus here, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, and the glory of his only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, we know God's law, and ready to give an answer, and we need to be aware that God, Jesus, is full of grace and truth. Again, John 3:21. That he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So, if we're practicing truth, come to Jesus. Those in darkness don't like the light. If we practice truth, that's our part. We got to know it. We got to practice it. Again, John 14:6. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The only way to get to heaven. Through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I like to stick this passage right here, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's Paul writing. We imitate Jesus, telling us to imitate Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Quality number two, mercy and truth. Obedience, mercy and truth. The third one is faith. Faith. Go back to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Faith. Conviction to that truth that we just talked about, that we need to be studying, that we need to have in our lives. Romans 10:17. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5. Paul writing again to the church of 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to 6. Therefore, being always of good courage, knowing that the will we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, that conviction of truth, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from this body than to be at home with God. Faith. If you look at listings such as 1 Corinthians 13, what's the first one out of that last verse? Faith. You go to 1 Peter and the virtues, I guess, would be called. One of the first ones is faith. Get the evidence that we need to have a strong faith. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, for familiar passage you saw. If we have that faith, this verse, you read it for years, and all of a sudden something just clicks. I'm like, wow, more powerful than I realized. If we have that faith, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful. So we have faith in God. We know God is going to be faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able. But with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. So God's not going to hang us out there if we're faithful to him on giving us something we can't handle. And on top of that, he's going to say, hey, you're going to be able to handle it. Count that as a blessing, but I want to show you or let you have a way to get around it. Okay, now it's up to us as free will moral agents to accept that way. The way that he provides. That excitement may not be the way that we want to go, or the way we want to go. Remember, do not lean upon your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Then again, faith. One last passage here, Galatians 2. And 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So we have that faith when we relate to this verse and we say that, hey, Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith, a conviction of truth about anything. Point number three. This is number four. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That him is God. What I like to make out of this one is consider God. Okay, what do you mean by consider God? Well, I like to go to the minor prophets. Minor in the fact that the book is small. Major because of what he presented. Haggai. Okay, give me a few minutes to find Haggai. Look in the bottom half, third. Haggai chapter 1 is filled with the phrase in verse 5. It's also in verse 7. Consider your ways. Okay, consider God. We need to look. We need to count. We need to compute. We need to take into account. Okay, that's what consider means. In this aspect, hey guy, prophet of God, say, consider your ways. Hey, look where you're going. Look where you need to be going. Go to Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Romans 6. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Now, we've already, if you go back up in the chapter in verse 3, 4, and 5, we talked about baptism and buried with Christ and baptism. Now, it's in verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Consider God. Okay? You get baptized in Christ, you put on Christ, and you consider God. Remember what character is? You know, D.L. Moody said, you know, it's what we are in the dark. Hebrews chapter 12. I got to put in a little plug for Hebrews. We'll get there eventually on Wednesday night. Chapter 12, verse number 3. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And him there is Jesus. For consider Jesus, who has endured, okay, remember his life, especially at the cross, the things leading up to the cross, the 3 years, how he was mocked and ridiculed. Put emphasis on the cross, but we got to emphasize also his resurrection, because where is he today? Well, he's up in heaven reigning, okay? You know, he suffered that so that we, us, will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider God. A Bible character that I like to bring out is Hezekiah. Remember his life, especially there at the last? He was mortally sick. He was considering God because he went and prayed, and what happened? 15 years of that. God heard his prayer. The point is, consider God. Next point is in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Point being, depart from evil. Okay? You have all these good qualities coming down, godly qualities. One of them has to be to depart. And we'll go back over to the New Testament, James chapter 4. You know where I'm going. James 4. 7 and 8. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he does what? Will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 89. Be of sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering has been accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Okay, that concept. You know the devil's out there, he's roaring lion. He's going to seek any and everybody he can find, and we are to resist that. And that's all good and fine, but God did not leave us defenseless. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. We're not going to read the entire chapter. Beginning in verse 11 and going down through 17, those that know the chapter know we're talking about the armor of God. Verse 11, put on the armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the schemes of the devil. Then it enumerates what we got. We need any piece of that armor off, we're vulnerable. Okay, and Satan will know it. He'll use it against us. Another character that departed evil that comes to my mind is Joseph in the Old Testament. Everything that was done to him, and especially there at Potiphar's house, he had a choice. Made the right choice. Two more qualities, the benefits will be another lesson. Okay, I knew that would happen. That's okay. Proverbs, again, chapter 3 and verse 9. Another quality of godly character. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Honor God. Okay? We look into His Word, we get to know His law, we get to study it, we get to consider that our ways, we need to honor God, be reverent, respect. Again, John chapter 5. And in verse 22. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. So that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Okay, we're going to honor Jesus, we're not going to honor God, and guess why? Why would God want us in heaven if we're not going to honor him? Okay? Again, 1 Timothy chapter 1. The aged apostle Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 16 and 17. Okay, out of Thessalonians into Timothy. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul wrote it very simple. Be honored and glory. And let's go to Revelation, because we didn't like that answer. In Revelation, another apostle, John, had it in chapter 4. Understand this chapter, we're in the great throne room, the day of God. Verse number 9. And when the living creatures gave glory and honor, thanks to him, he sat on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever. Okay. Who's reigning? That's Jesus, okay? They're giving him honor, giving him glory. And if you go down to verse 11, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory, honor, power, for you created all things, and because of your will they exist and were created. Get the idea we need to honor God? here on earth. The last quality, the last one will be yours. It's going to come out of verse number 11, Proverbs 3. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. The law is reproof. Accept divine discipline. Okay? It's the quality. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. We're not going to read the entire verse there. Hebrews 5. Or, excuse me, Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Talking about this one of our earthly father, you know, gotta call it this one. Pretty hard. I don't know if you talk to my kids, they'll probably tell me I'm this one's in there pretty hard. It's, I thought it was maybe not as hard, but. Yet the thoughts here are, you know, if an earthly father is on a discipline, I'd like to go over to verse number 7. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, you know, illegitimate children and not sons. Therefore, we have earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respect them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the fathers of spirits and live? And we respect our earthly fathers when they give us discipline. Maybe at the time that they're doing it, you got to look at this verse, and isn't it much more reasonable to be disciplined by God? For they discipline us for a short time that seems best to them. That he disciplined us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. Okay? Discipline. Again, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. Okay, this is at a congregation, a church. They ought to see it. If you know the background of the New Testament or positive, it's lukewarm. So, inspiration of God through the Holy Spirit to the Apostle John. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. There is church discipline. Still divine discipline. One last verse, and the lesson will be yours. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Again, looking at accepting divine discipline. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, not according to the traditions which you have received from us. Again, the mechanics, the mechanism of church discipline, but yet the idea out of Proverbs 3:11 is that we need to accept divine discipline. Qualities of a godly character, how close are we? When I put this lesson together, something I got to work on that one. I think I'm okay here and work on this one. But if we go out into the world, one of the qualifications of an elder is to have a good rapport from the world. If we go out and someone happens to go to where I work at and say, "Hey, what do you think about Mark?" Well, specify who I am because there's a lot of Mark. You know, what kind of report are you gonna get back? If we go to a place of business, hey, what about, you know, Daniel or Keith, you know, what kind of rapport? That's a character. So you have those godly characters that it's like, man, he's a good person. If you can give him something, you don't have to worry about it. You know, his integrity is intact. You know, the world today, little issues here and there, well, it's, you know, a little white lie. Well, it's integrity. How close are we? Invitation song has been announced. 369? 369. Invitation is extended this afternoon to those who desire to take one. Not a Christian? Time is present to become one. Have Jesus as your Lord and Master. If you have done that, acknowledge, baptized, you get upon the way. Privately, take care of it privately. Publicly, well, what's the difference? Well, publicly, there's a lot of folks know about it. Okay, you take care of that. Whatever makes it right, because the worst thing to do is have something between yourself and God. If you hear those words, you're going to depart from them. I don't know you. Not in the book of life. So you need to make those corrections. The invitation sent is extended. So we'll stand and sing.
Jesus, our loving shepherd, calleth thee now to come into the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Come in the strength of manhood, come in the morning of youth. Enter the fold of safety, enter the reign of truth. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see. Jesus, my shepherd divine, Jesus, the loving shepherd, gave his life for me. Tenderly now he's calling, wanderer, come to me. Faithful without his danger, come Christ the shepherd bless. Enter the fold of safety, enter the place of rest. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see, Jesus, my shepherd divine. Lingering is a folly, wolves are abroad today, seeking the sheep who straying, seeking the lamb to slay. Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth thee now to come. Enter the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see, Jesus, my shepherd divine.
Let's thank Mark for his lesson tonight. I'd like to thank Aaron for his lesson this morning. And we have a lot of men who can step up and preach in Chuck's absence, and even Chuck's here. We have men that preach on Sunday afternoon. So we're just glad that we have men like Mark and like Aaron who step up here and preach when the opportunity presents itself. So as I mentioned, I just have a quick announcement to make, so just please stand while I make the announcement. Just wanted to kind of let everyone know, just kind of reiterate, I haven't been back since we made the announcement about Josh, and just wanted to kind of let everybody know, I don't think there's anybody here who didn't get the email, but on the 19th of March, I sent an email along with Chuck, notifying everyone here at the congregation that Josh Connor was no longer recognized as a member here. We've been talking with Josh for 3 to 4 months, and we'd asked many of you to contact him also, and then Josh was not willing to repent. He wanted to just come and go as he pleases here. And when he first came here, and we welcomed him into the flock and asked him to be under the eldership here, and he said he would. But as any member here, if you want to go out to live with the wolves and try to teach the wolves what they're doing is wrong, that's just not what's acceptable to God's plan. And so we talked to Josh, and Josh was and pretty adamant about not changing his ways. And you know, we told Josh that, you know, he would be marked as a fallen member here, but we love Josh, and we told Josh, you know, we want you to come back, and he's been back on a couple of Sundays here. So, you know, we know, you know, Josh still wants to hear the truth preached, and we want to do our part, pray for Josh, because he's our brother, and that's what we should do for each other. We just want you to know that, you know, whether, you know, this time it was via an email, next time it might be from a public announcement, just whatever you feel like at the time is the right decision to make, to let everyone know what's going on. You know, we don't want things to drag out and let, you know, membership think, well, what are the elders doing about this situation? You know, it's not right. And so we just wanted to let you know that there's any, you know, anybody who didn't know that or who had any misconceptions about that. I know I left Sandy off the email, and I apologize to Sandy. She was only one who didn't know about that, but I think she heard about that through James, and he brought her up to speed about that. So we just want you to know that, you know, we love Josh, and we're going to continue to pray for Josh. But as elders, you know, that was our responsibility, and we just hope that you know, all the members here will support us in that and continue to pray for Josh to bring him back to the Lord. So Keith, if you'll mention that in your prayer tonight, we appreciate that. But Keith will now close in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to the close of this service thanking you so much for this great day that you've given us, your day, your, the Lord's day, to come together to worship you, to give you honor and glory, Father. We recognize you as our maker and master and the creator of all things that we see and we know, Father. We honor you and glorify you this day. We pray that everything that we've done has been pleasing unto you, and that we have done everything in accordance with your will, Father. We thank you so much for the blessings that you bestow upon us. We enjoy many things in this life, Father, and we know that they come from you, and we thank you so much. We especially thank you so much for the spiritual blessings, the plan that you put in place before the foundation of time, plan of redemption, the plan to send your Son and our Savior Jesus to this earth, the great love that you showed for us and putting that plan in motion, and the great love that was shown for us by Jesus and his willingness to submit to your will and to be offered up as the supreme sacrifice for all mankind. We realize that without that great blessing, Father, that we would have no hope, we would be separated from you, and that we would be lost eternally. We thank you so much for your great love and the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, that we do have that hope, and that one day, if we're faithful, we can be with you in heaven, the greatest blessing of all, Father. Father, we pray for those of our number who are not with us this evening, those who are traveling, those who may be battling with illness, Father. We pray that you will be with those who are traveling, help them to return to us safely. Be with Brother Chuck as he is away in the gospel meeting. Please help him in his efforts in that area that he may reach the lost and more souls will be added to your kingdom, Father. We pray that you be with others who are traveling throughout this week. Watch over them, keep them safe, help them to return to us. Be with those who are sick and those who are battling illness and age. We pray that you will help them to find comfort in you and that you will be your will, Father, that you will give them the help they deserve and they may be able to be counted with us once again, Father. We pray that you be with the Wilson family as they are dealing with the loss of Sherman. We pray that you will comfort them as only you can, Father. We know that it is difficult when we lose loved ones, and we pray that they will turn to you and find the peace that you offer. We pray, Father, that especially that you be with our brother Josh. Pray that you help him to understand the error of his ways. We pray that you will help us to be an encouragement to him, to try to talk to him and try to help him understand the seriousness of his actions. We pray that you will help us to say something or do something in the right way that we might help Josh to realize and he might turn from his sins and be counted once again among your flock, Father. We pray, Father, that you go with all of us as we are about to leave this place. Look down upon us in tender mercy, Father. Help us to humble ourselves and to always examine ourselves according to your word, Help us to look to your word, Lord, for guidance and for strength. And Lord, when we do find ourselves falling short and we have sinned and fallen short, we pray that you will help us to repent of that sin and turn from it and turn back to you, Father, so that we one day can be with you in heaven, Father. We pray that you go with us now as we leave this place. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.